I don't believe in black majority rule ever in Rhodesia, not in 1,000 years. Thus vowed Ian Smith, Rhodesia's white prime minister, on March 20, 1976. Outnumbered 22-1 in that Southern Africa country, some 270,000 whites had defiantly ruled over 6 million blacks since Smith unilaterally declared Rhodesia's independence from Great Britain just over a decade earlier. Since independence, which no other country in the world had recognized, intensive British diplomatic efforts at the highest levels had utterly failed to persuade the intransigent Smith to accept black majority rule. At the time, the Rhodesian constitution effectively gave full legislative control to the small white European minority. Despite this history, Henry Kissinger had initiated complex coalitional negotiations in the region during the waning years of Gerald Ford's administration. Scarcely 6 months after Smith's Not in 1,000 years declaration, Kissinger had orchestrated an about-face by the Rhodesian Prime Minister. Stunning his white countrymen and a world audience, Smith made a televised announcement accepting the principle of majority rule for his country to take effect within 2 years. More surprising was how Kissinger had engineered Smith's turnabout. By delicately working with both moderate and radical black African states, he had persuaded a most reluctant South Africa, that citadel of apartheid, to apply decisive pressure on neighboring Rhodesia to abandon its policy of white minority rule. Remarkably, South Africa agreed to bring this pressure despite the plain fact that, if Rhodesia capitulated, anti-apartheid forces would, and later did, shift their energies toward South Africa, the major remaining white-ruled state in the region. At the time, this was big news. Time magazine's cover story on October 11, 1976, lauded Henry Kissinger's dazzling diplomatic foray into Southern Africa, which had raised the possibility that Rhodesia, as well as much of the rest of Southern Africa, might be poised on the brink of peace instead of a race war that was once thought inevitable. Along with much of the world's press, the British Observer gushed that this intricately choreographed process represented a staggering diplomatic coup in a seemingly intractable crisis. Though Ian Smith's reversal would prove pivotal, black majority rule in Rhodesia would not come on Kissinger's watch. When Gerald Ford lost the 1976 presidential election soon after Smith's announcement, Kissinger became a lame duck, departing as Secretary of State in 1977. This effectively ended his role in the negotiations, which stalled, triggering an upsurge in guerrilla fighting and diplomatic activity. Majority rule in Rhodesia, later known as Zimbabwe, became a reality only with a 1979 agreement that largely followed the Kissinger blueprint and was forged under British leadership at London's Lancaster House. Many of us remember the worldwide celebration and 1993 Nobel Prize when Nelson Mandela, with F.W. de Klerk, ended apartheid in South Africa and launched black majority rule in that country. Yet Kissinger's diplomatic push some 17 years earlier to achieve majority rule in neighboring Rhodesia has mostly been forgotten, perhaps as a result of his higher profile actions elsewhere, or since the disastrous 37-year reign of Robert Mugabe, Zimbabwe's first president, has eclipsed that long-ago moment of hope when democratic principle triumphed over white minority rule. As some suggest, however, Kissinger's prior negotiations helped set the stage for the ultimate end of apartheid in South Africa. By the start of his negotiations over Rhodesia, Henry Kissinger had confronted a range of negotiating challenges over almost 8 years under two presidents. These included the opening to China, the end to the Vietnam War, détente and arms control with the Soviets, and lasting disengagement accords among Egypt, Israel, and Syria, following their 1973 war.